Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Today I'm talking with Sean Wildermuth. Sean's a Microsoft MVP. He's an author and a trainer. He teaches Silverlight and Windows Phone 7 through his company Agile Train, and you'll find a link for that on my website for this show. He's been a speaker at conferences around the world and has written several books. Sean, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
You know, I was trying to figure out how long I've known you. And I think it's actually now we're talking about a good number of years, like 5 or 6 years.
Well, you and I were in prison together at one point.
Oh, I wasn't going to sure mention that where, part. I got the tattoo scrubbed off, man.
Well, I wear mine proudly, so well, okay. I think we're good.
Great. That'll cement both our reputations. I appreciate that. So you and I think one of the things that's been interesting in our careers is that we have made similar decisions at similar times. Like we got fired up about Silverlight around the same time.
Yep.
And I have now switched my focus a very intense degree to Windows Phone, and I believe that's true for you to very much as well.
That is. It's interesting. If you're had an interest in Silverlight and you haven't looked at Windows Phone, I'm amazed because it's they're very much married to each other at
yes,
this point.
Yes, absolutely. I think most folks who have been listening to this podcast by now have been hearing the story that Windows Phone is very much built on either Silverlight or XNA, and my focus has certainly been to a large degree on the Silverlight aspect of building applications. But you are far ahead of me in that. You have, I believe, 4 apps in the store already.
I do.
Tell me about what that experience was like.
Well, getting the apps in the store is a whole nother story, but I'll talk about kind of the development story, which is
please.
I kind of started with a couple of demo apps for the book. I'm working on a Windows Phone book, like evidently everyone is. And I was doing some talks, and so I had some apps that I'd built as demos, and so I figured, you know, the best way is just get out there. All the 4 apps are free apps, and so this isn't my my way of creating that fart app that makes me $1 billion.
I think there may be a limit to how many of those are going to get people rich.
You would think. One of my favorite stories back in the iPhone startup days was that 2 companies were fighting over the phrase "pull my finger" and got lawyers involved and everything.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
I would have loved to have heard some of those arguments.
Yeah, that just amazed me. There was enough money on the table that they needed lawyers, right?
Yeah, that's kind of scary. But it does say something about the opportunity presenting itself again as Windows Phone Marketplace is just opening.
Yep, and it's interesting because I've talked to a lot of other people that are building apps, and different people have different kind of expectations for what they want out of the store. For me, the development experience was was really good. The first thing I built was an app called Moon Phaser, which literally just shows you the phase of the moon. And building that app took me about 8 hours. Is the way I tell the story. Now, you may think 8 hours, you know, is that short, is that long? The reality is it took me about 6 of those 8 hours to find a good picture of the moon.
That's brilliant. However, if you really built that application in 8 hours, I'm speechless, apparently, because I find as good as the development experience is, I don't do anything in 8 hours. I can't even get my thoughts together in 8 hours, so I'm very impressed.
Well, I'm talking mostly pure coding and blend time. I had done some mock-up work. Because I teach so much, if I sit down, I can kind of put together an app pretty quickly because, when I teach, I have to build, 20 apps in 3 days as part of the experience of teaching the course anyway. So it's a...
And we're saying 8 hours, but of course your point was that in some levels it was 2 or 3 hours of work.
Yeah.
And, that's extraordinary. And I think that falls under the you may already be a Windows Phone programmer aspect of Silverlight programmers bringing a lot of that expertise forward.
Certainly. And I think the challenge with Windows Phone isn't the development experience. I think when you look at the 3 experiences, I've looked a little at Objective-C, and as much as my toe got wet, it shocked me that the experience wasn't great. I looked at Android development, and actually the Android development is pretty good. If you can get over using Eclipse and a emulator that's a little wonky. But for the most part, it's pretty good. But by far, I think the experience in Windows Phone 7 is, from a developer standpoint, is incredibly strong. I think the challenge for Microsoft is, can you get consumers excited about it? Because it doesn't matter if the development experience is good if we don't sell any handsets.
Well, clearly. On the other hand, if developers find the experience to be very rich and fairly straightforward, and we're bringing in a large number of applications, I mean, there is that endless bootstrap problem. And if developers find the experience to be positive and they build those applications and fill the store with them, then I think the appeal to consumers, assuming that they like the interaction with the phone in the first place, a store full of high-value applications is certainly going to be a big draw.
I totally agree.
In fact, to some degree, it's the sine qua non. I mean, it may not be sufficient, but it's certainly necessary for a successful phone.
Sure. The concern I always had was, you know, I listen a lot. I live in an area of Atlanta that isn't necessarily Microsoft-friendly. What I mean by that is there's a lot of students, a lot of artists, and way more Macs around than I'd like to admit. And so I hear kind of the worst of the worst impressions of Microsoft, and so, you know, kind of doesn't do my heart very good when I hear, you know, the Verizon store woman say, well, I wouldn't recommend a Windows phone unless someone had to have it for work. And so that's the perception, I think, that hopefully we can get over with the phone. Because on the whole, the phones, I love the software. I'm not in love with the demo unit I have, but I think that once it's on a better phone, which most of the ones that are coming out in the initial hardware drop look really good.
Yes, and the demo phones are not up to spec. They were put out for, they're less demo than developer phones, and they were put out so that you could test software on them and make sure that it was working, but they don't have the full chip speed, they don't have the
Absolutely.
Full feature set. So we'll see. It'll be interesting because the artistic types and the designers who I've spoken with who've seen the phone have been blown away by how beautiful it is and by what the experience is like and the panorama view and so on. And I've been hearing very positive things from people who've actually seen it and very negative things from people who haven't seen it yet. So that'll be an interesting experience.
I totally agree. Because, I'm really impressed with Microsoft's, in this particular case, of leapfrogging the competition. I really expected a Me Too operating system out of them, and they really, you know, I've invested highly in Windows Phone because I really love the software. I've been really impressed with, you know, their decision-making when it comes to not only the development experience, but clearly as a user of the phone, you know, I have the developer unit with me pretty much every day. And it's making me hate my Android more and more every day.
Well, that's good. Yeah, speaking as the one person on this call who is working for Microsoft, that's good to hear.
Sure.
And I point that out because your perspective is at least somewhat objective. I mean, certainly anybody...
I try.
I mean, to be frank, once you're invested, you're invested. And so those of us who've been... I mean, even before I went to work for Microsoft, I had been building .NET applications for a long time. And I think there is, to some degree, a level of investment in, well, I've been building in this technology, therefore it must be good. But
sure.
To the extent that we can step back, I think, you know, we've seen things come out in the development world from Microsoft that we've been less enthusiastic about and then things that have, you know, blown us away and made us really impressed. And I think Windows Phone is certainly high on the impressive list, both from a developer viewpoint and to a large degree from a consumer viewpoint.
I agree. And a lot of the holes that I expected to be there, Microsoft, you know, has solved. You know, syncing on the Mac, as soon as people started to complain about it, boop, a beta client was there. Being able to get Blend into the hand of developers without having them pay for it. So the decision to make Blend free for phone developers, huge win as far as I'm concerned.
It is really an extraordinary decision. All
yeah.
things considered, for a company of Microsoft's size to make the decision to make Blend 4 for phone free for developers really took me by surprise, frankly, that was the decision. Because we're not talking about a crippleware version here. We're talking about Blend in all of its abilities.
Absolutely. It is the same version except for, you know, the project types that you get for the desktop. It's just, it is the full-blown version of Blend, which I'm ecstatic to be teaching with.
What's your sense about non-Silverlight developers coming to phone development?
Well, I think there's a couple different camps, and their experiences are different. So let me start by talking about the non-Microsoft phone developer that comes. And I, generally, those guys that I've talked to have really liked the experience because, again, they've been dealing in these other environments that are less than optimal and be able to get up to speed. One of the anecdotal stories I like that I heard that I really like is someone said it, you know, it took me 6 weeks to build it for the iPhone. It took me 2 weeks to build it for Android, and it took me 8 hours to build it with Silverlight. Again, anecdotal. Who knows how true that's going to be long term? But the experience from those phone developers has been great. For the non-phone developers coming, especially the Microsoft developers, familiar environment is good, but there's a lot of little pieces to learn, especially if they're not Silverlight developers, that the experience has been good, but I think a little uncomfortable. People who don't know XAML or any sort of markup type language, the WinForms and the WebForms guys have struggled a little more, but not a lot. Oddly, the people that I think are having the most trouble are the Windows Mobile developers.
That's interesting.
I say that because you know, they were given free rein to the hardware, and suddenly you're bringing them into a sandbox. You're limiting them to what they can do, running background processes and other things that especially enterprise guys are used to doing. And suddenly you're saying, no, you know, you're not going to be able to do that. You're going to have to live in this really protected world because we're suddenly protecting the user from you.
Right. On the other hand, I will say that I've talked to some Win Mobile developers who their experience is, yes, I've given that up. I'm in a sandboxed environment. But on the other hand, I know what I can count on the hardware. And the spec is very high and very demanding, and I know that I can count on having this much memory and an accelerometer and a camera of this level and so on and so forth. And so at least some developers I've talked to have been very excited to have that rather than having to worry about a myriad of different devices that may have different capabilities and that may have different chips and may have different drivers and so forth.
Absolutely. Different screen sizes. Yeah, all of that. And I think the Windows Mobile guys, once they realize that this is going to be a better experience, that they're going to be ecstatic about developing for the phone. What's interesting is, the first thing you would get used to on the old Windows Mobile phone was essentially the task manager, right?
Yes.
How do we kill apps? And that's my experience on Android as well. And anyone who buys an Android phone, the first app they should install is a task manager. I was critical of iPhone when it first came out. I was like, what do you mean you don't trust developers to run backward, around apps? And then I got an Android phone. I was like, oh, yeah, this is why we don't let people run.
As it comes to a crawl and eat your battery alive.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been pretty vocal that I actually love the process model in Windows Phone and that we want to give the users the experience, as much of the experience as possible, to have it seamless and look like we were running in the background. But it's up to us developers to go through a little bit more of the heartache to make that experience work.
So let me provide very quickly a little bit of the background of how that works and
sure.
Ask you a couple of questions about it, which is my understanding is that when the user switches applications, your application is notified that it is about to be switched away, and it will, in fact, be closed, but you have an opportunity to persist your state so that when you are restored and started again, you can appear to have been alive in the background. That is, you can restore it to the state it was in. You can also receive push notifications that you will then catch up to and move forward from there. Is that our approximate story on tombstoning and how we handle the appearance of multitasking?
Yes. No, it's not guaranteed that your app is going to go away, but it's certainly going to stop execution. So only one app in the sandbox can be running at one time. So when someone gets a phone call, when someone hits the start button or the search button or those sorts of operations, you're given this opportunity to, you're given a state bag and go, oh, save your state here, and we're going to hand this back to you. You know, if and when you're brought back.
Right. And, of course, there's no guarantee you'll be brought back because the user may not return to you. You may just turn the phone off.
Correct. Right. Or never press the back button, right? They could, you know, just go right. and start running other apps and you simply go away. And at some point, that state becomes stale and you're not being brought back into Tombstoning. You know, if they click the start icon for your app, you're going to start up through it the typical means. You're not going to be started up with a notification of being what's called activated.
And your experience as a developer, is this a particularly difficult thing to manage, or has this been straightforward?
It depends on your strategy. So I don't think it's difficult at all, but it does require that you maintain you know, a fairly loosely coupled architected app. If you're going to make one app where all your code is behind one piece of XAML, you're going to have to jump through a couple of hoops to get that data into a place where you can save it. It's not difficult. It's just made a lot easier if, you know, you're using kind of a separation between view and data and those sorts of things that you typically want to do anyway for a myriad of reasons.
And do you find that MVVM is a pattern that's worth keeping in mind for phone development?
Yeah, I think it works really well in the case of phone development. Because the, you know, the story in phone development is this notion of page-based development. You know, you're oddly, the developing for the phone is closer to the web guys than it is the WinForms guys, because unlike Silverlight, the only model for Silverlight on the phone is this page navigation situation. And the reason the page navigation works so well on the phone is because of the back button, right? As you navigate to different parts of the app, working with the back button becomes natural. You don't have to kind of bake it in.
Right, and it allows the user to back up to where they were and move forward in a different direction and so forth.
Correct. There's no, typically there's not a close button on an app. If someone backs away from the first page in your app goes away. Just like if, you know, you were on a web page and you press back again at the, you know, the first page of your site, it's going to go to whatever they were doing before.
So I'm going to switch subjects on you briefly and ask you to tell us a little bit more about your book. How far along are you? Can you say who the publisher is and what you're expecting and what angle you're taking on the book? Is it for general users or Silverlight developers, or what are you building there?
Sure. The book is for Addison Wesley. It's going to be in the Checkerboard series, if you guys are familiar with that. That's
Very, very great. That's terrific.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be back in the Checkerboard series. It's actually, I was the first book in the Checkerboard series back in 2001 or 2002, so it's kind of weird to be coming back.
I really can't remember a Checkerboard book that hasn't been worth reading. If it's in the topic area, I almost invariably get one of those books.
Oh, I appreciate hearing that. We're battling a little on the name. They want a more traditional, you know, developing Silverlight applications for the Windows Phone 7 and, you know, one of these behemoth titles. And I'm really pushing for them to call it the Windows Phone Book. The focus of the book really is for Silverlight developers and non-Silverlight developers. We're trying to really meet both of them, but we also want to be very concise. We're not going to be the 1,000-page book, the reference manual. It's really going to be, this is how you get started with it. And we're focusing on Silverlight.
And when are we looking for publication?
My publisher would like it to be out by the end of the year, but the reality is it's probably going to be first quarter. We're about halfway done with the book. And the hope is that it'll be in their hand by December, and, you know, the long, arduous printing process of getting books out there. So I'm hoping by first quarter.
Well, that's great. That's a book I will definitely have on my shelf and on my website. Because
I appreciate that.
First of all, because I've seen you teach, and secondly, because I think there is a huge need for that book. Let me take you in a slightly different direction. In some quarters of Silverlight development community, I think there is a little bit of fear and loathing around HTML5, and I know that you have looked at HTML5, and what's your sense of the Silverlight and HTML5 story?
Well, it's interesting because one of the things I've preached since WPFE is that, you know, XAML isn't the new HTML. If you're building websites using Silverlight, you're probably doing it wrong. Now, if you're building web apps, that's a different story, but websites, and that's really where I think HTML5 is going to do a great job, and in a lot of ways is already doing a great job for a lot of developers. It's adding a lot of pieces to help kind of fill the story that Flash and Silverlight were filling on the web But most of the sweet spot for Silverlight, I think, continue to be media stories and line of business apps. So when you're talking about really the application developer, I think Silverlight is as strong as it's always been. I don't think HTML5 is going to necessarily encroach on that. Certainly there's fears of I want my app to run on the iPad, where you're going to have to make some of those decisions. But it's odd because the guys that are really vocal about HTML5 tend to be the people who have the iPhones and iPads as well. And I think it's interesting because Apple took the approach initially that, oh, if you want to write an app for the phone, just write, you know, an HTML app. That's, we have WebKit. Just go for it. And developers didn't want to do that because it was such a limited platform for apps. And so kind of reluctantly, Apple was drug into the App Store Objective-C story by developers. So I think that's going to continue to be true with HTML5. You know, I looked at a couple of the kind of low-hanging fruit, some of the new tags for kind of website development, the idea of, you know, sidebar and header and body and things like that, I think are tremendous, especially when you match them with CSS. I'm less enthused by things like the canvas tag, which is interesting in that you can now draw directly on the surface of an HTML surface, but you can only draw with code. So there's no markup story there at all. If it were my world to manipulate, I would ask W3C why SVG wasn't part of the spec. So people go, well, if you want markup, just use SVG. Well, it's one more of those. I've got 13 specs. None of them are really integrated, and I'm going to throw them all together. You know, and if you've come from kind of the Java world, that's very comfortable. If you've come from more of an integrated Microsoft environment, it's less comfortable because you have to figure out all these competing technologies and which ones make sense.